Our Sunday services all this month and last month have been looking at some of those things found in the book of Proverbs. Let me tell you this. God wants to change your heart. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not just that we come together and go through some ritualistic kinds of things. We're here for the very purpose of letting God work on our hearts. The Bible says, as we look into the mirror and see the image of Christ, that's the New Testament mirror, as we look into this same mirror and see the image of God, we are transformed into that very image. Guess what happens if you don't look into the image? Guess what happens if you don't meditate on the law of the Lord? If you just sort of ritualistic come, sit in church and sit in a Bible class and never really get involved in everything that's going on, God's Holy Spirit will not change you. Mark it down. You'll still be struggling as a babe in Christ, though you may have been baptized 30 years ago, unless you let God work inside your heart. And that's why the Bible says, that man that is fruitful, planted by, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season, that man is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. And so the whole design of Soldiers of Christ is to help us get fixed in our mind so that we'll be able to meditate in our heart these things that we're talking about. So don't just be here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and walk out of here and think, well, I went to church again. It will not happen. God will not change your heart until you're ready to meditate on the law of the Lord. He's not going to do it instantaneously. It's going to be because you want it to happen. So we tonight continue our study of the book of Proverbs, and we're looking at the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus. Here are the words that God gave to him in order that he might be that wise. Remember when he was a boy king, a very young man to become king, and he prayed not for riches and power, but he prayed, God, give me wisdom. And we are blessed because in the writings of the book of Proverbs, we have the wisdom that God gave him. Now, if you want to be an idiot, if you want to be a fool, just ignore this. Don't pay any attention at all to that lesson this morning, any attention to the things we talk about at night or talk about tonight. But if you want God to change you, then let some of these, and it may not be that every one of them is what you need. But whenever in these studies we run across that verse that hits your weakness in your life, you need to meditate on that verse and think about it in relationship to that. Now, I suspect, with the exception maybe of only two or three people here, and I'm not even sure that we have those who are here tonight, we're going to talk about what the Bible says, the Proverbs, about pride and anger and the fool. Now, we'll qualify under one of these somewhere tonight, I think every one of us. Because you see, as we look at all the entirety of the book of Proverbs, it's not just like you get into a chapter and that one chapter just discusses a topic. You've got to jump from chapter to chapter to find the various proverbs, wise, pithy statements that are given by the Spirit of God to Solomon, so that if we'll memorize these things, we will be partakers of the wisdom of God and of the wisdom that God gave to Solomon. The biggest problem, I think, that anyone has, if you'll stop and think about it for a moment, I believe you'll come to the same conclusion, is the matter of pride. And so we spend the first three verses talking about this matter of pride. Everybody struggles with it. And that's why this scripture reading tonight from Daniel chapter 4, it shows the very problem that the Bible is filled with individuals. You remember King Herod? You remember how he died? He was making this speech, and the people in the city of Tyre and Sidon shouted out, "It's the voice of a God." And the Lord got so angry with him that he was eaten of worms because he would not humble himself. And I don't know how much different it would be to be eaten of worms or to have your hair matted together like eagle's feathers and your fingernails to grow like bird's claw. But there's another king. And that's why the Bible talks about this matter of humility. Think of all the verses that talk about humility in our relationship to Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him do what? Let him deny himself. That's humility. Take up his cross. That's death. That's killing the old man of sin And Isaiah chapter 62, right over the bottom of the page says, to this man will I look, even to him who is of a humble and a contrite heart. You see, that's the relationship. Pride stands in our way. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that story about Nebuchadnezzar, but if you imagine being king of ancient Babylon, had walls that were 87 feet thick, 350 feet in the air. Inside that city was the very edifice built by King Nebuchadnezzar, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world that rivaled in splendor the pyramids, just because of the ornate beauty that they had. That was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. In that one city, there was one building that was 600 feet high and a half a mile in circumference. So Nebuchadnezzar, look in Daniel chapter 4, when he says that the king says in verse 30, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my power and for the honor of my majesty? Look at it. My power, my majesty, me. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you got to get me out of the way. Listen, if you want to have a relationship with anybody on this earth, you've got to get yourself out of the way. That's what pride is all about. If you want to have a good marriage, you got to get your pride out of that. If you want to have a good relationship with your parents or a good relationship with your children or a good relationship with anybody on this earth, it's this matter of pride. And so Nebuchadnezzar is a classic illustration of that. While these words were in his mouth, the Lord spoke out of heaven, or someone spoke out of heaven and said, Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom has departed from you. And he went out and he became a wild man. His hair was matted together like eagle's feathers. And if you didn't wash your hair for a long time, you know, until seven times passed over you, that might be a good description of your hair. Didn't have the ability to trim your fingernails or anything. Your fingernails might be like eagle's claws. The interesting thing is, God humiliated or perhaps humbled this man. And so verse 34 said, at the end of that time, seven times, I lifted up my eyes to heaven. Look, here's a verse in the Bible written by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, who three verses before saying, me, has now arrived at the point whenever he says, I bless the Most High and I praise and honored him who lives forever and ever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. What about yours, Nebuchadnezzar? It departed from me just like that. We've got to get pride out of the way. And so there are three proverbs. And the same format that we've used in other lessons are the verses, is the format that we'll use tonight. We'll look at the divine wisdom verses about it, and down at the bottom are the words that are on those soldiers of Christ cards. These are the things that we'd hope you'd think about, meditate on these, that your heart might be changed. What about this one? Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before pride, before a fall. You know who said that? You know how true this is? Pride goes before destruction. I want you to think of the heroes in our day and to mention the names of some of the heroes who thought that they were so wonderful and so special that they were above every other thing and above all other people. Can you think of any politicians of whom this might be application? Can you think of any sports hero of any? Can you think of any classmates at school? Can you think of any relative that you've got? You see, God cannot stomach pride. You want to destroy your relationship with God? Then don't ever come and kneel before God and say, thy will be done. That's difficult. We can pray easy enough, Lord, this is what I want. Let your will be mine. Wrong prayer. Three times in the garden he said, not my will, but your will be done. And you and I need to understand that whenever we come into the presence of God, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I believe this is another verse that we've already looked at, that says, when you come into the temple of God, let your words be few. Why? Because we're here to listen to what God says. And it's that humble and contrite heart that says, like the boy Samuel says, when he heard the voice of God in the middle of the night, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And when it comes to any problem in our life and dealing with wrong in our life and trying to make a decision about whether we ought to do this or not do that, here is the answer. Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Because if you don't, absolute divine assurance that destruction lies before you. I think all of us can think of those times when we have laughed at individuals who have fallen flat of their face, perhaps literally. And there's an inward joy sometimes that we have whenever we see the high and the mighty who are brought low. You stop and think about it. We can mention politicians by name, Democrats and Republicans. We can mention sports heroes in golf and in football and in basketball and in all of the various aspects. We could talk about movie stars who thought that they were God's gift to all mankind. God will not look with kindness on pride. And the proverb is, pride goes before destruction. Here's you a good one. Here's you a great one. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. Isn't that amazing? You know how to destroy relationships with other people. Talk about you and how great you are. You see, if you're worthy of praise, you don't have to talk about, well, this is what I did back over there in that kind of place. This is the kind of thing that I have done in my life. If you want to be respected and be honored, and I'm not just talking about in the church. I'm talking about in life. I'm talking about in the workplace. I'm talking about whenever individuals around you and they marvel at you, not because you're always blowing the trumpet and saying, look at me and look how wonderful I am. Wisdom says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I never read this verse without thinking of an incident that happened in New Zealand that Kerry Kane, to this very day, that name will not mean a lot to many of you. Kerry preached in this church 29 years ago, and so many of you will not remember him. But in New Zealand, we had a spiritual week's encampment. Now, I guess it was a long weekend, very much like so. And the organizers of that camp said, Dan, we want you to do the fireside chat every night. I had four nights to do it. And so I took the song, How Great Thou Art. And humbly speaking, and let another man's mouth praise you, and I'll tell you what Kerry said about that. Every night I'd take one of the verses of that. And we just take, you know, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. And Kerry, when he talks about that, said, Dan, that was so moving, that was so amazing. And the next night, I took another one of the verses and did that. And in that particular sounding, setting and surrounding, it was marvelous indeed. At least that's the way Kerry described it. And the third night, we took, you know, that the source of life is hidden from mankind. I forgot the verses of the song. And then the last night of the song came to the very, very end of it. And I said, at least Kerry said, this is what I said, and I guess I did say it. Now let's all join hands as we stand around this fire and think about what we've been talking about and sing with all of our hearts, How Great I Am. Let another man praise you and not your own self. I don't know that happened, but that's the way he remembers it. Okay. Here's another one on pride. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. That's the fruit, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 5. That's the fruit of arrogance. Now think about classmates, you know, who are arrogant. And think about the impact that they had. Think about in a sporting field, where there's some quarterback or some player on the team that wants to be the hot dog and just is the one who wants to get all the notice and the glory. What's going to happen? Think about clubs that you've been in. Think about the workplace. Think about your family members. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Now the flip side of that is that we don't have to talk about how great we are, because if we trust in the Lord will see that we're prospered. God help us to deal with pride. Now, have you written these words on your heart? David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let's see how we did. Pride goes before what? Pride goes before destruction. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth. And then he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Changing direction. We sang that song, Angry Words. Proverbs has some things that it says about anger. Look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. It's also in chapter 15, verse 18. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. You got a temper? Here's a verse that you might want to write on your heart. Here's a verse when you're about to fly off the handle and say something, you need to understand that all your anger will do is to throw gasoline on the fire that is raging inside that relationship. Angry man, furious man. Angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man doesn't just sin. He doesn't just sin a little bit. He abounds in transgression. An angry man. God help us to be the kinds of people that whenever anger does come, we do not sin. And for sure, we never let the sun go down on our wrath. You want to see another verse in Proverbs about anger? Look in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14, that says, "The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contentions before a quarrel starts." I suppose this is a description there of some dam or something, some water that's about to flow. And so it says, "Stop that strife before it starts." A soft answer turns away what? Yeah, that was another verse out of Proverbs. A soft answer turns away wrath. Grievous words stir up strife. You want to stop fussing in your home? Then shut your mouth. I don't care what he says. I don't care what she says. Stop contentions. Now, could I tell the women who are here of what was said to me by an individual whose wife had complained, when we get in a discussion, well, all the time, he just won't talk in our marriage. And he told me privately, the reason I don't talk is it just gives her more ammunition to fuss at me with. A soft answer turns away wrath. Now, if you've got temper, You need to write this. If there's strife in your home, listen, it's not Dan's idea. This is the way God says you handle these things. You got problems in the workplace? Then for sure, don't you be the angry, don't you be the furious one. You be that individual who, before the quarrel ever begins, you stop the contention. Stop the contention before a quarrel arrives. And then from the New American Standard of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. So tomorrow in school, tomorrow in the workplace, tomorrow whenever, you know, you're dealing with some family member, then hear these words. He who is slow to anger calms a dispute. Is that one of the verses you need to write on your heart and write on the actions and let God change you? Well, it's just the way I am. I say whatever's on my mind. As though you have some right to do that. And what a statement of arrogance and pride that is. That an individual says, well, I just have a right to say anything I want. No, you don't. Not if you're going to have the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. Do you write these on your heart as we looked at them, these three verses? An angry man stirs up what? He stirs up strife. Stop contentions before the quarrel begins. And he who is slow to anger calms a dispute. And now, let's look at these verses that talk about a fool. The book of Proverbs has many verses in there that talk about the word fool, and in some of the other verses that are on the cards, the word fool is found, but these are just sort of almost miscellaneous verses that just we need to think about. What about this one? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 that says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." Well, I was right about it. Two individuals in some sort of discussion. One of them may be truthful, and one of them may be truthful when he says, I was right about it. But if both of them are saying, I was right about him, at least one of them, and perhaps both of them, fit in this very verse. You need to understand that an arrogant statement of, well, I was right about that, may put you in this category. For even a fool thinks that what he did was right. You know the most difficult words to say? I have sinned. I was wrong. Oh, we got around it by saying, well, if what I said hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. You know what that means? I'm sorry that you're dumb enough not to figure out what I meant when I said that which was obviously true. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And so for us just to blatantly say, well, I was right about this, we could be this very individual that is discussed in this verse. Look at the rest of it. But he who heeds counsel is wise. What about another one? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. Fools mock at sin. Sin mocks mankind. But fools mock sin. But among the upright, there is favor. And so one's reading the Bible, and there's that which the Bible discusses plainly. And somebody says, I just don't believe that. And God looks down and says, you're a fool. And we get over here in this same kind of area where that which is righteous and holy is mocked. And some of the great entertainment, some of the jokes, some of the statements that are made that have, innuendos of vulgarity. It needs to be removed from the way that we talk, because all we're doing is taking that which is sacred and we're mocking that which is righteous by affirming through our words and our lives that what we're doing is right. You want two more? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. There's a great one. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart. Well, I just have a feeling that this is what I ought to do. Trusting your own heart. And folks, let me tell you something. When somebody comes and asks counsel of you, you probably don't need to begin to say, let me tell you what I would do if I were in your situation. You need to say, would you like to know what the Bible says you need to do about this situation, about this thing? And then to be conversant enough with the Word of God that instead of us giving an opinion, we would say, this is what the Bible says. Here's a principle that's found in the Bible. And if you want to do the right thing, because it is always right to do right, and the Bible is right, that's the kind of advice we ought to give. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. And what we need to do when we come into life situation and trying to figure out, well, what should I do about this? What should I do about my marriage? What should I do about my children? What should I do about my parents? What should I do about the things that are happening in the workplace? Instead of looking inward into our own feelings and our own subjectivity, to look to what God says, because if a man trusts in his own ways, in his own heart, he's a fool. And then here's one for those of us who talk too much. I have a right to say this. A fool vents all of his feelings. Well, I always say just exactly what I'm feeling. Fool. And that fool is not my judgment. That's heaven's judgment. Folks, the book of Proverbs are those wise statements that will change our hearts, change our marriages, change our relationships, every relationship within the home. It'll change the relationship within the church. I know of one individual who says, here's what I do. I read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day of my life. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs and about that many days in every month. You might want to consider doing that. And then as you read those chapters, underline the verses that address you and what's happening in your life. Did you write these statements in your heart as we looked at them? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Fools mock at sin. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. And a fool vents all of his feelings. I find it amazing how some of these we remember so readily more than the others, which I think means we were really listening when we came to that part of that. And that's what we need to do, is to listen to God. Sunday night services are a little bit different, are they not, from Sunday morning services? But let me ask you to not let the time that has been devoted in developing these lessons and not let the time that we spend together reminding us that this is the wisdom from God, to not let that just be something that we think about tonight and that's the last time we think about it. I would urge you to take those Soldiers of Christ cards and find those verses that are there. Now, in the Soldiers of Christ cards, remember there are three natures, three different cards. There is that entry level of a prophet. And we've tried to put the easiest and the easiest to remember on those cards. And then the king cards, or the priest card, and then the king cards. But at least, please take time to review that prophet card and learn those things that are there. And then look at the others, and if you can, memorize every one of these. But at least make some effort to let God change your heart. Because that's what we want to happen, isn't it? Let God work on us. If you're not a child of God, you need to let God work on you tonight. You know His plan of salvation is not that hard to deal with. That the way God has set out that we can remove our sins, deal with these things in our life, so that the Lord forgets about it, those things that we said and the things that we did, the times we lost our temper, and all the rest. It'll happen because we believe in the Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved,